Welcome to Share Talk, the only podcast where investors come first.
Big Dish is a technology company that helps restaurants fill spare capacity. It does this by matching them with potential diners during quieter periods. To find out how it does this, we're joined by the chief executive, Sanj Nahar. Now, Sanj, great idea, but how does it work?
So, hi. It works in a quite simple way. So we have an app on a mobile. We also have a website, and both the app and the website will show restaurants in particular locations that have some great offers at particular times available today and available tomorrow. And that's quite significant, the 48-hour period, because that's exactly what restaurants like to be able to promote. And then what happens is, it's nice and simple. As a diner, someone who wants to go out and eat at a great restaurant, you simply choose your location, you choose your restaurant, you choose the time, the offer that you'd like, and how many people will be visiting the restaurant. And it's a very simple booking process that you can then do via the app or the website. You receive a confirmation of your booking. The restaurant knows that you're coming. And then you go and have a great experience at a restaurant, and you get a great offer. And it's as simple as that.
So I'm guessing happy cash-conscious diners, happy restaurateurs and gastropub owners, and on some occasions, better for the environment. You mentioned that 48-hour booking window. So I suppose there's less waste and less food being thrown away because restaurateurs know how many people are coming.
Yeah, it's a challenge for restaurants in terms of waste management, not only in terms of physical resource ingredients, but also in terms of manpower as well. Restaurants will be staffed during the evening. Restaurants typically might open at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening, be open for lunch. But those early hours tend to be very quiet for restaurants. But you've got the manpower, you've got the ingredients. You know, why not try to optimize the number of people that are coming at those quiet times? Also, in the evening, again, you might get some cancellations. You just might have some quiet periods, some empty tables. Yet you've still got the manpower in the restaurant. You've still got the ingredients. Some of those are perishables. You know, why not try and promote, get some more people coming in and reduce the wastage? So from a wastage perspective, yes, absolutely.
Now, the Big Dish proof of concept exists in the locations of Hong Kong, the Philippines, Indonesia. Why those locations, and how well has the concept been adopted?
So Big Dish was born out in the Far East about 5 years ago, but you know, it wasn't the first company to really look at offers, deals, yield management, particularly in the restaurant sector. Yeah, that's been happening successfully for several years. I think what's been great about what Big Dish is doing in its proposition is focusing on the two-day period, focusing on some great restaurants and some great offers, bringing that as a model here to the UK. And in the UK, it's always been fascinating. So I've been involved in the UK hospitality sector for many years, and there's never been really, for me anyway, a kind of go-to site, a go-to place for great restaurant offers. There's various companies that are out there. You have the likes of Tastecard, you have the likes of Groupon, you have the likes of OpenTable that might do restaurant reservations. But there's not really somewhere where you know you're going to get great restaurants, great deals at the times that you want to go and have the availability. So from a diner perspective, it gives great offerings. But what's really key is the relationships with restaurants. Restaurants typically haven't really enjoyed the relationships with the likes of Tastecard, with Groupon, with the online reservation companies, because they put a lot of conditions. They allow diners to kind of book quite ahead, which is difficult for restaurants, because restaurants, obviously, they want diners to come in, but it's difficult to know if you're going to put an offer on next week or 2 weeks' time, because you might genuinely be quite busy and you might actually not want to do any offers for diners, which is commercially, strategically, makes perfect sense. So we're having great conversations with restaurants, where restaurants really understand what we're trying to do, trying to help them, but at the same time, give some great offers to diners.
Okay, two things there. You talk about you're having conversations with the restaurants and the gastro pubs, but also you said great restaurants. Who's to say they're great restaurants? Surely that's down to the consumer. Or are you taste testing in every restaurant that's on your platform?
we'd love to. So what we're doing is when we're looking at a location that we'd like to go and really look at restaurants and look at what kind of offers we can get for diners, what we'll do is we'll go through a process of looking at all the online restaurant guides, looking at the likes of TripAdvisor, looking at local restaurant guides, looking at local media. We'll hit the streets, start walking around, looking at various restaurant areas, food areas, talk to people. Really get a good idea of which are the restaurants that people like to go to. This is not about restaurants that are necessarily award-winning, but obviously that's a good gauge of certain things like quality. But we'll look at reviews of what people are saying, and we look to see which ones are busy and which ones are quiet. And then we kind of like put a list of kind of restaurants that we'd like to work with, and then we start engaging with them. And that can be through just visits and going to speak to the staff of the restaurants and try and get hold of the owner, or we'll make some phone calls and try and make some appointments. But we need to have those kind of good conversations to really understand what they're doing well, why are they quiet? You know, is it simply the case they're just not really marketing themselves enough? But essentially, they have to be restaurants which are giving some great food, have some great reviews, and are the kind of places that people really go to or want to go to.
So what I'm imagining is that Big Dish is an aggregator of culinary intelligence. But also you debuted in the UK just September 2018, but you didn't debut across the entire nation. You're doing it sort of by cities. So where are you now and where are you headed?
Sure. So Big Dish acquired a company called Table Pouncer. And Table Pouncer started off in Bournemouth about 5 years ago, and really built up a great, strong base of restaurants and diners in Bournemouth. So when we acquired Table Pouncer, obviously it was a case of making sure that we were retaining those great restaurant relationships in Bournemouth, and then really looking to build from there. So from Bournemouth, we went over to Bath and to Bristol. From there, we've extended on the southwest towards Exeter, about to launch in Taunton. And then we've come over from the south and headed towards Southampton, recently launched in Basingstoke. And also we're now really circling some of the commuter areas around London. So we just launched Swindon. We're heading towards to Brighton very soon. So it's been very much the south and the southwest. But the strategy moving forward is really doing a UK rollout. So you'll be hearing some things soon, which are the new areas that we'll be going into. The idea inevitably is to be all over the country and to be also in the major cities as well as all the regional locations as well. But it's been fascinating to really work with regional areas rather than just going for the cities, because they're different restaurants, different diners, different needs. Having been in the hospitality sector and hospitality technology sector, a lot of focus is always put on the major cities like London, and the regional areas tend to get neglected quite a lot. The regional areas do have some challenges in terms of restaurants and how those restaurants work and pairing restaurants with diners. But what I've always found is that if you get it right on a regional level, it will work anywhere.
Okay, well, let's come out of the regions and go into the city, because I'm thinking about Jamie Oliver's chain of restaurants, which went into administration this week. Do you think the Big Dish initiative could perhaps have saved his enterprise?
Absolutely. Yeah, the restaurant sector is suffering at the moment, and the restaurant sector has found it hard the last few years. There's all sorts of issues that are going on with restaurants right now. You have the issue of rates, you have the issue of the uncertainty of Brexit in terms of staff. A lot of restaurants have a European workforce, and you know, there's a lot of uncertainty, and recruitment's a massive issue, costs are a massive issue. From a diner's perspective, a diner, to be honest, doesn't really care about all that, but the restaurant has to manage that. A restaurant also, for the last couple of years in particular, has been battling against the online delivery rise of Uber Eats, Deliveroo, Just Eat. Great for a restaurant in terms of additional revenue streams. The downside is that restaurants will typically have to pay 35-40% commission on an online order, which is a massive hit. The downside to that also is that if you don't have a diner coming into the restaurant, you miss out on the restaurant being able to upsell drinks and dessert. So restaurants are desperate to get diners back into restaurants. That's another part of the conversations that we're having with restaurants and the reaction that we're getting from them, which is they see us very much as almost saviours in the industry of really trying to encourage diners to come back into restaurants. Now, with a group like Jamie Oliver's, there's the additional element that they've had. And I can remember being at an event where the MD of Jamie Oliver's was talking quite candidly about the mistakes that they've made. And I think it's a reflective of some restaurant groups, and some independent restaurants as well, that really they've become complacent over time, and they haven't really adapted to what diners are looking for. An example might be that you could have walked into a Jamie Oliver's restaurant and really not known the difference between a Jamie Oliver's restaurant and a Ask or a Zizi or another chain Italian cuisine themed restaurant, because there's just nothing differentiating them in terms of decor, in terms of the food, in terms of the service experience. And I think that's what really let down Jamie Oliver's restaurants in particular. But we're finding it, if you look at what diners' expectations are now, diners are now much more savvy in terms of what they're looking for from a dining experience. They're almost food critics now because of what they've seen on TV, because of social media, because they have the ability to review their experiences. So they critique the service, the ambience, the food so much more. Also, because they're cooking a lot more at home, again, because of what they've been seeing on TV, they have higher expectations of food quality. So they're looking for something kind of different. They're looking also for change. If they're going to go to a restaurant, this sense of loyalty doesn't really exist like it used to before. People are much more promiscuous in their dining habits. They will go to various restaurants, and they're looking for different experiences. So restaurants have to update their menus and change and be more seasonal in what they're offering for diners.
Okay, so you get what the consumer wants. The restaurateurs are calling you a saviour of the industry, but you're not philanthropists. I mean, how do you make money from this?
Absolutely. So obviously there has to be a commercial model, but we're keeping it really simple and I think really fair. So basically what we're saying to restaurants is, come and work with us, give us some offers. There's two offers that we're really focusing on, a 25% offer and a 50% offer. And what we're saying to restaurants is that for a 25% offer, we will simply ask you to give us a £1 cover fee. So for every person that comes for a reservation with Big Dish, for a 25% offer, the restaurant will pay us £1 per person. For a 50% offer, we understand and appreciate the margins are smaller. We simply ask for 50 pence per cover. That's it. Nice and simple. There's no setup fee for the restaurants. We create a listing for the restaurants, promote the restaurants in effect for free on the app, on the website, and it's very much performance driven. A restaurant's only paying us if we provide diners to their restaurants. And again, that's just a great conversation that we're having with restaurants.
Okay, so in terms of growth, will this be achieved via a blend of acquisition or having those great conversations by knocking on pub doors? I mean, you bought Table Pouncer, for example.
Yeah, so right now, in terms of growth, it's very much acquisition of restaurants, pub restaurants, and also hotel restaurants. In one of my previous roles, I headed up the restaurant division for TripAdvisor, and one thing I noticed is that there are some great hotels with restaurants, and those restaurants typically are dependent on hotel guests, don't promote themselves particularly well to external guests, but have great food and have great chefs and teams in the kitchen and people front of house, and they're quiet. And so it's hotel restaurants, it's pub restaurants, it's independent restaurants, and also group restaurants as well. We don't neglect them, we're going to bring them on board. But it's very much getting those restaurants on board, using the commercial model that we currently have for cover fees. We'll be looking to provide some additional opportunities, marketing opportunities for restaurants as well. And there might be a commercial model in there. That's what we're looking at in terms of our roadmap. So there'll be other ways for us to potentially generate revenue from the restaurants that we're working with.
So in terms of functionality, let's get back to the tech. What features are you going to introduce on the website and the apps? And with your background with TripAdvisor, can you prevent review abuse on said features?
So reviews will be coming. So we'd like diners to have the ability to review their experience. And there's a couple of ways we can do that, which we're looking at. You can either simply give a rating of your experience, or you can write something about your experience. And we're going to be looking at both parts of that. The whole review culture has become massive over the last few years. It's a tricky one. If you look at restaurants on TripAdvisor, restaurants tend to be, you know, not that comfortable with obviously negative criticism, and negative reviews are always going to exist. That's human nature. People tend to complain more than they do praise. That will always exist. What I always advise restaurants is you have to take sometimes the emotion out of how you're managing reviews and how you're replying to reviews, because there will be some reviews where clearly someone is ranting and raving, but there will be reviews where genuinely there's been a failure from the restaurant's part. And then you have to put your hands up sometimes and explain and give reassurance, because someone, the next person that's reading that review wants the reassurance that when they come to the restaurant, you know, they're going to have a great time. So we have to manage that process. I quite like what Uber does as well, because Uber, if you ever use Uber, flipped the review element slightly, because it allows not only the consumer to review the Uber driver, but it also allows the Uber driver to rank or give a rating to the passenger as well. So passengers have an Uber rating. I'm personally obsessed with that. I'm always trying to make sure I'm having a great conversation with my Uber driver whenever I'm using it, sure that he gives me a great review and rating. So that's something that we might look at as well. There might be an opportunity for restaurants to be able to review diners as well. Reviews is definitely an element which will be coming onto Big Dish.
You're probably buttering up your Uber driver to take your dog as well.
It's actually my neighbour's dog.
Okay, well, you'll have to give that dog a bone. Now, say I'm listening to this interview in Forres near Inverness. There's part of me that's thinking, come on, get up to the northeast of Scotland. So how are you driving Big Dish's brand awareness?
So as part of our UK rollout plan, we obviously will be covering the whole of the UK. It's funny enough you mentioned Scotland. I was there recently, and I've been having some conversations with some contacts and some restaurants within Scotland, within other parts of the country, really gauge and understand the current situations and the current opportunities, and just really kind of testing the water for Big Dish when we do go into those locations. So there are things happening very much in the background for us to really lay the foundations when we do the full rollout. We will absolutely be covering locations as far afield as Inverness.
Okay, so in terms of the differentiators between Big Dish and the peer group, it's that 48-hour window. It's the fact that you're personally talking to the restaurateurs, but it sounds as though it's quite a small team, because you keep talking about we are knocking on doors and speaking to people. So how many people are involved in Big Dish's evolution at the moment?
So in the UK, we currently have a team of four people at the moment. We have two territory managers looking after the south and the southwest, and we also have someone who's coordinating our marketing activities. We also have some agencies who are helping us in terms of the marketing and the advertising strategy that we have. We have a tech team out in the Far East, out in Manila, a team of about, I think it's currently about 10 people who are developing the Big Dish app and the site, optimizing it and really planning for the roadmap and the future enhancements that we're going to be bringing in.
Okay, so at the moment, you and I are talking to each other quite early in the morning. Well, 9 o'clock in the morning, and I'm getting pretty hungry talking to you about food. But in a year's time, what will you and I be discussing? Where will you be? Will you still be with the company?
Oh, absolutely. I'm loving it right now. It's a great time right now because of everything that we're kind of planning for the UK rollout. It's obviously going to get even busier. We are going to be, this time next year when we have a conversation, we'll be getting close to about 2,000 restaurants that we'll be working with across the UK. There's going to be collaborations with other companies that we'll be doing things with to promote Big Dish. We'll be very much on the radar of diners pretty much everywhere. And we will be known as the go-to place for a restaurant deal. So it'll be a very interesting conversation this time next year that we'll be having.
That's perfect. Thank you very much. Wish you all the best. Sanj Nahar, Chief Executive of Big Dish. Thank you very much indeed.
Great. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for listening. Remember to visit our website for more news and other podcasts at www.share-talk.com.